Grace and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon today as we continue through 1 Corinthians comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So that the church may be built up. That's a very communal statement, looking at more than just oneself. There's a saying about child raising that it takes a village to raise a child. And in some ways, this is a true statement. There are some who might suggest that this makes raising the child the responsibility of the village or the state, or specifically government, and not the child's parents. Scripture is very clear in the fourth commandment that children are to honor and obey their parents, and parents are to raise their children to fear and love God. However, it is true that more than just a child's parents share in the task of raising children. Friends, grandparents, teachers, pastors, neighbors, fellow church members are all important to the godly upbringing of the children with whom they interact on a regular basis. We can't just look at this subject from an individualistic perspective, and we also can't do the same with our worship of God. There are a lot of people who approach the idea of worship, or who approach their worship of God from an individualistic perspective, thinking that all that matters is my own worship and no one else's. I come for what I can get out of worship, not looking to others. Looking to receive in worship and to get in worship, not thinking about giving. If a church's worship does not entertain them, they leave to find somewhere that will. If they aren't getting something out of worship, they leave. And this is actually the mindset that Paul warns against in our text today from 1 Corinthians 14 as he compares prophecy with the speaking in tongues. He elevates the worshipfulness of prophecy over tongues because of what these two spiritual gifts represent. Remember, spiritual gifts are blessings that God gives to his people for building up the church. To some are given the gift of prophecy, that is speaking for God to God's people. Some are given the gift of speaking in tongues. And in this context, there are really two different forms of speaking in tongues. There's the one that we see exemplified on Pentecost, where the 12 apostles, as well as the 500 or so believers who are present at Pentecost, are all speaking in different languages so that the people who are there can hear them in their own language. And then there is the other form of speaking in tongues, which we see here, which is speaking in a different language that no one understands except God. And so to parallel that, or to complement this spiritual gift, there's also the spiritual gift of interpreting tongues or understanding tongues, by which one can take what is said in quote, God's language and put it in the language of the people. And so in this context, Paul is talking about those who would use their gift of speaking in tongues in worship when there is no one there who can interpret and thus no one who can understand. In this case, the speaking of tongues builds up only the person who is speaking, who is experiencing the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in this dramatic fashion themselves. Have you ever tried to watch a movie in a language you don't understand, perhaps turning on the French or the German, Portuguese, Chinese? You can't understand what's being said. And if you can't understand what's being spoken, you aren't going to get too much out of the movie. And the same holds true in this case with the speaking in tongues. If you don't understand what's being said, you're not going to get too much out of it. That's what happens here. The one who is speaking is being built up in the worship, but no one else is. In our church today, this would be similar to that consumerist attitude that goes to church to get, or the attitude that says, I can worship God just fine on my own. I don't need church. I don't need others. Those who speak in tongues during worship aren't interested in sharing with others. They're interested in their own personal spirituality. Those who look for only their own personal spiritual experience are not using their gifts to build others up. So then, of course, we can contrast this with the picture that Paul gives of the place of prophecy in worship. Because while speaking in tongues builds up only the one who is speaking, prophecy builds up everyone. The one who prophesies, Paul says, speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Remember, we've talked about this a number of times before, what prophecy is. It's not just speaking of future events at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy is much, much broader and encompasses any time that God's people speak God's word. The Old Testament prophets did much more than just speak what God told them and put in their mouths directly. They also applied God's revealed word in Scripture to the people of their day, calling them to repentance when they needed to repent, giving them God's comfort when they needed God's comfort. In some cases, this was actually similar to the role of an advisor, as Nathan's relationship with David, or perhaps the role of a pastor. When you tell someone that Jesus loves them and forgives their sins, that is a very simple example of prophecy. And when I read God's word and proclaim it to you in the sermon, that's a broader example of prophecy. In fact, we sometimes say that the office of pastor is the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament office of prophet, speaking God's word to God's people. Prophecy happens any time that God's people speak God's word to God's people. And when we look back at the speaking in tongues, prophecy speaks languages that the people can understand. It is primarily other-oriented, looking to the good of others, not just to oneself. Whereas the speaking in tongues is primarily self-centered, looking to one's own spirituality, not that of others. And what are we called to do in worship? We are called to gather together with other members of the body of Christ to worship together. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. In other words, the worship which God specifically promises to bless is when the members of the body of Christ come together with other members of the body of Christ around their head, which is Jesus Christ. So other-focused worship, worship with others for the good of others, is what we are to perform as we worship God. And so how does that look? Paul instructs us in our reading to use what we have, the spiritual gifts that God has given us, to build one another up in worship. He says, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. It is the gift of prophecy that has the power to bring a sinner to repentance. It is prophecy which speaks God's word to other people to build them up. And so this is where love comes into the equation. In love, we look to another and his or her needs above our own. Our needs in worship are superseded by those of our fellow worshipers. If I can build up my fellow worshipers with my singing, with my presence, if I can enhance their worship experience in any way, that is a great blessing, and not just to them, but also to myself. And amazingly, when I build up others in their faith, my own faith is built up as well. Even as I use my gifts to build up and encourage others, I'm encouraged by their presence and their gifts as well. And this is what happens when everyone seeks in worship to build up others instead of just themselves. And that is God's intention in our worship. We seek to build one another up even as he builds us up as his church. He feeds us of himself, feeding us his son's true body and blood to build us up in our worship. He gives to us the forgiveness of sins won for us and given to us freely because of Jesus' all-atoning death on the cross to build us up as we worship together. Even as we look to serve others, God serves us. There's a story, more like an Aesop's fable, though I don't think it really is one, and of course I couldn't check because of our internet situation, about two crows. These two crows were caught on the ground in a huge blizzard, unable to take off, unable to find shelter. Both were freezing to death, trying to keep warm as best they could, when a pair of sparrows landed next to them. The sparrows also were freezing and couldn't take off or get somewhere warm, because they were too cold. Please help us, the sparrows begged. We don't want to die in the snow. The one crow sneered at them, or would have if he could feel his cheeks, and said, I'm already freezing to death, and you want me to share what little heat I have? Are you out of your ever-loving minds? Get lost. But the other crow looked at the poor, helpless sparrows and nodded. Get over here, and I'll keep you warm. Even if I freeze to death myself, maybe I can help you survive. So the sparrows huddled under the second crow's wings close to his breast and laid down to wait out the storm. Well, the storm finally abated the next morning, and one of the crows woke up, dazed and confused, to see the other crow lying there covered in snow, dead. But which of the two crows survived? The one that didn't think about his own survival but shared its warmth with those sparrows. The crow that hoarded its body heat to itself eventually had all of its warmth sucked away by the cold ground and the colder snow. The crow that helped the sparrows was able to share their body heat, multiplying the warmth of all three birds so that all three benefited and survived. And that's what happens when we think of others ahead of ourselves. As we share the warmth of our love and worship, giving our own testimony of faith by our very presence and participation, seeking to build up others around us instead of ourselves, we benefit too. Our faith is strengthened too. Our love for others multiplies. And we all are enabled to grow together as we worship our Savior who gives himself up, heedless of his own desires and wishes, to bring us together under his wings as his children, safe from the harsh and sinful world that surrounds us. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as we grow together in our worship together. Amen.